Psalms 9, if you have your Bibles this evening. Psalms 9, we're going to be looking at the final message of our three-part series on the I Wills of David. And tonight we're going to be looking at a covenant with God. A covenant with God. Psalm 9. Now read verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time once again in your house. And as your words open, I just ask you, Lord, just to lead and guide. I ask you to give me the words that you'd have me to say, and I trust that it'll be a help to your people tonight. I know you have reminded me of some things tonight, and I trust you will remind your people of some things tonight also. In Jesus' name, amen. We spent the last 2 weeks on the I Wills of David, but we'll go one more week. Again, we're looking at a covenant with God. And one thing that stood out to me about the I Wills of David was not only that it was a declaration to himself, but it was a declaration to God. It was a vow to God. And I do believe that we live in a day where Christians make less vows to God. In part, it stems from a lack of commitment. It began out in secular culture, and then secular culture, tragically at times, creeps into the church. But we see a lack of commitment out in society, people that don't want to work anywhere for too long or stay married for too long or drop out of school or drop out of college, just fail at commitments. We've seen this in our churches where folks fail to commit. They don't mind doing something once, but not week after week, and people sadly won't commit to a church or commit to a pastor, and then of those that do commit, many will commit for a while. Pastors will even commit for a couple of years until trouble strikes. Then they go to another church. There's a church, I believe I've mentioned this before, that I had inside knowledge of, but in the last 30 years, they had 20-some-odd pastors. The average stay of the pastor was 2.5 to 3 years. The longest was 5 to 7. The shortest was just a handful of months. No wonder God is not doing anything with the place. He can't keep somebody there long enough. And you know, church hopping is not just limited to congregants who leave over single issues. Preachers do it too. They'll stay in a church until issues set in, and then they'll leave. They'll go to another place. Then trouble strikes, issues arise, they leave there also. So we lack in commitment at times. And as a result, we don't make declarations to God. But up next to a lack of commitment is the bigger reason and why we don't make commitments to God, and it's that we don't intend at times to keep our word. It's what God will expect us to do, is to keep our word. In 1 John 2 and verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. When we see keepeth his word, this is to simply stand by what you say. Remain committed to what you say. Keeping your word is a characterization of believers. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what things look like, regardless of in hindsight, maybe you shouldn't have spoken. If you give your word, then stand by it. And David here makes a vow to the Lord in Psalm 9 verses 1 and 2. I will praise thee, O Lord. With my whole heart, I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So notice what the Bible has to say about vows to God in Numbers 30, verses 2 and 4. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. It says, in essence, he shall not break his word. This means don't break the vows that you've made. Our verse continues and says, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth, which means if you make a vow with your mouth, we are bound to what leaves our mouth. It says, all that proceedeth out of our mouth, the Bible says, you've heard the term that our word is our bond. That didn't come from just anywhere. Our word is our bond. Bond means an obligation imposing a moral duty as by a vow or promise by law or other means. So it's an obligation. It is a moral duty for us to come through on our vow or promises that we've made. We're bound to it. We are essentially a prisoner to our word. This is why it's important to truly think about and be led of the Spirit on what leaves our mouth, because we are bound to it. I worry sometimes about when we go to God and we're just real flippantly, Lord, I will do this, I won't do this, but it's in some heightened sense of emotion. It's something that we don't genuinely feel. It's not something that we genuinely believe. Well, we told God we were going to do something. We're bound to it. Deuteronomy 23:21, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. This means as soon as we make a vow to God, as soon as we make a commitment to God, it's then time to start paying it up. It's that time to start living out our commitment to the best of our ability. If we don't pay up, God will require it of us. And it says it would be a sin in thee. So what God is still waiting on in our life is for us at times to pay up on what is a sin within us. If we haven't paid up, the Bible says that it is. It is a sin within us. So I ask you, what did we tell God maybe even years ago? And we failed at our commitment and we think that God is like the bank where we can default. Then after a while, it may get written off. No, every commitment that we've ever made to God, he requires it of us. He still requires for you to maybe at some point a long time ago, many years ago, you said, Lord, I give you my life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about sanctification. And I'm going to be a disciple and I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to give you my life. And then somewhere along the lines, you say, you know what? I want to take my life back into my own hands. God ain't forgot what you did. God hadn't forgot what you said. And this, folks, is single-handedly why many believers will be unlike David and just say, I will, and commit to God. Because they know what they commit to God, God will require it of them. There are people who I know right now who will not place faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They will not commit to God. They will not. See, I could make commitments with others, lose sight of them. I do that. I do forget stuff. There's the danger there, too, sometimes. If we say we're going to do something, remember that you said you were going to do it. You got to write it down. I told somebody I was going to do something. Write it down. But you could give it a few weeks, months, or even years, and we'd all forget about what I said I was going to do. But we know God does not forget vows. These four I wills of David, I think if we just vowed these to God, it would change our life. We have fear sometimes that we wouldn't be able to come through on it. That's another reason why we fear commitment. We fear surrender. In some cases, we don't commit because and also in other cases, because we don't have enough conviction in us to commit an area to the Lord and commit to work on it. And I do believe that every one of us should make a vow to God tonight, as David did in Psalm 9:1-2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. So not some of our heart, but all of it. and I'll show forth all thy marvelous works. So it's a commitment to praise God and brag on him before men, and you're making this commitment to God. So in verse 2, I'll be glad and rejoice in thee. I'll sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So to be glad and rejoice in him, to sing praises to his name because he is most high. Now, this is important when it comes to praise, because when you praise someone, you lift them up. That's why we shouldn't like praise. You and I shouldn't like praise. We shouldn't desire it. We shouldn't want it, because that's lifting you and I up. Now, it's one thing to highlight something that somebody's done or this, that, and the other, and to make them feel appreciated and things like that. But praise is a whole nother thing. Praise is lifting somebody up. Now, we won't go into it, but there are other parts in the Psalms where the wicked, they blow smoke in each other's ears. That's pretty much what it is. I forget the exact wording of it, but that's what they do. They just lift each other up. They just talk each other up. They just praise each other, and they're all up in the clouds. And the pride and all that stuff, that's what the wicked does. But it shouldn't be amongst God's people. What you lift up or who you lift up is who you're praising. Now, it shouldn't be that way. Even in our churches, it shouldn't be that way. We should come in and have praise for the Lord and him alone. That's it. What you lift up in your life is what you're praising. Some people may say, I'm not praising my problems. Well, if it's all you lift up in your life and it's positioned higher than anything else in your life, it means you look to it. You praise it. You have promoted it. What do we promote in our lives? It's the stuff we think about all the time, the stuff that we talk about all the time. One famous preacher, I believe it was Spurgeon, he said, I could talk to somebody for 30 minutes and know what they're praising, know what they're promoting. You could talk to them. Some people, you could talk to them for 30 minutes. God never come up. Sports dominate the whole conversation for 30 minutes. Politics could dominate the whole conversation for 30 minutes. We get out in the world. We don't talk about the Lord. We talk about the things of the world. We talk about sports. We talk about politics. We talk about the weather. Those are the things that we promote. Those are the things that we lift up. Now, what you lift up, that's what you're praising. But David here, in hindsight to our study, revealed something to me in the area of vows to God. Because if you're like me, we tell God sometimes, I'm going to stop this, or I'm going to start this, or I'm not going to go there. And by the way, it may not leave your mouth. The words might not ever leave your mouth in prayer. But if the Lord pricks your heart about something and convicts your heart about it and says, that's you right here, or this area right here, you need to change. And you have a surrender of the heart. And then a week later, you're back doing the same thing. You've gone back on that vow. You've gone back on that surrender. We've said, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to think on this, or I'm going to get over something. Maybe it's something that's holding us back or holding us down, or I'm going to give more in missions, or maybe more of my time to the church. And our mind goes back one day to a vow that we made long ago that we gave up on ever coming through on. And we think, because we've forgotten about it, that God no longer requires it from us. The main challenge tonight is to not only make vows to God for one, but when you do, come through on them. Ecclesiastes 5:4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. We're foolish when we make vows and we break them. Pay up on your vow. Defer means to delay, to put off, to postpone to a future time. As to defer the execution of a design. It gives by an example there. Ecclesiastes 5:4, again, when thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay it. It'd be like this. We make a vow to God, and then we say, I'll pay you later. There's a delay. There's a putting off to a future time when God wants to begin collecting now. I know people who have said, I repent of my drinking, I'll quit next month. God's not pleased with that. God, one time in RU, told me it was probably October, I think it was, or something like that. And he was going to be, he said, you know what, I'm quitting smoking, and I believe the Lord wants me to give that to him, but that's going to be my New Year's resolution. I said, brother, that ain't repentance. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind towards the things of God, and you are to begin coming through on that repentance right away. You're not to delay. It's not I'll quit drinking next month, or I'll work on my critical spirit later, or negative spirit next month, or start eating less next month, or start that new diet 2 weeks from now. I repented today. And I've done that, especially with the food stuff. Say, you know what, I'll start that diet in a couple of days. I'll start it in a week. Or I won't get back in the gym as my New Year's resolution or something like that. But you know what? You got to get to the place whenever the Lord highlights something for you and there's something you got to do and the Lord requires it of you to just give it to the Lord and just go ahead and make those changes today. I do believe it because I've seen it in the ministry and lived it in my own life. That Christians come in, the Holy Spirit of God battles them in areas, and they fight the Holy Spirit in the service, and they're so rebellious and set in their ways, they fight God service after service. The idea is, let me just get through this service and the battle I'm in. They can't even enjoy church because their lack of surrender has them being battled every service that they're in. And I was there. There was a time that, there was a time I couldn't enjoy church. I can enjoy church now, but there was a time where I could not enjoy church. I was the one trying to get out. I was the one that was trying not to come at times. That was me. And I recognize at times that there are people who come to church and it's like, man, I wish they could enjoy it when they come. And I partly recognize it because I've been that guy. If we surrendered in church and fought our flesh and the devil and the world outside of church, rather than not crucifying our flesh in church and fighting God all week, we'd have more joy in church. But we fight the Spirit of God sometimes instead of surrendering and making a vow. And those who are like I was, a breaking point is coming, a boiling point is coming. Don't know when, but it'll happen. You see, with my breaking point, I turned to God and surrendered, but many in their breaking point leave church entirely or go to a place that makes them feel comfortable, a place that their flesh likes. The spirit within them is quenched by it. Now is the time to come through on your vows to God. In Deuteronomy 23:23, that which has gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform. Even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Even something as simple as a freewill offering. It's free will. Lord didn't call you to do it, didn't ask you to do it. You volunteered it. It's free will. I volunteer this, I'm going to give it. The Lord says, even that wasn't expected of you, wasn't asked of you, but you volunteered it. Do it. So we're to keep the words that come from our mouth. When you make a vow, commit it to memory. To keep is to maintain possession of. And by the way, when we make vows with people and we don't keep them, they're not going to value our vows. I know people right now that are telling me, hey, I'll be at church next Sunday. They've been telling me that for, They didn't come down here with me, but for the 5-6 years that I was around them and saw them every week, I'll be there next Sunday. What's that? It's a vow. They said I'm going to do something. You don't see them. One of the days they surprise you, blow your mind. There was somebody down here that kept telling me that. Well, there's another one that keeps telling me that too. And one day they will. The one blew my mind when he came because I wasn't expecting it. I'd heard it so many times, and then he come. So sometimes they might. Then there's another one that I'm hoping to come, because every time he sees me, and I see him every other week or so, just out and about. It's a small area, and people are starting to figure out who I am and stuff like that. And I'll see you next week, and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to see him, and I believe one day he will, He's going to remember that on a Saturday night at some point. And everything lines up on Sunday morning for him to be here. And he's going to be here. I believe it. But the concept here is that when you make a vow and you say, I'm going to do this, and you back out of it so many times, people are not going to value your word. It's not going to mean anything to them. Now, if people don't value your word because you go back on vows, what's that do to the gospel when you try to minister to them? Well, what does it do with the important things? Because you've burned bridges with a waste of words and gone back on them so many times. People are not going to believe you about the good things. So remember your vows. And again, it's hard to come through on what you've forgotten. But not only keep them, but perform them. And if we only keep our vows but never perform them, then we're only half right. Because then we know what we vowed, we're just not doing it. Then it says, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. There's much importance in keeping our vows to God. David made vows to God. He told God in verse 1 and 2. Of Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So I encourage you to do this. Make a vow to God as David did. When you find yourself at times getting caught up in yourself, and that's easy to do. We all get caught up in ourselves. We all get caught up in what we got going on and what our schedule is and things like that and our health ailments and things like that. We all do it. I've already told y'all about testimony. I needed the revival meeting. I needed it, and the Lord met with me, and I'm thankful for it. And, and sometimes it seems like as soon as, the Lord shows up in a big way, he gives you something sometimes to handle, something to deal with. And then you're like, okay, I got to be strong through it. I can't go back to what I was prior to revival meeting. Got to stay on this side of revival meeting. So that's that challenge at times. But, also at times you find yourself maybe being critical. We can all find ourselves there. We get all caught up in ourselves and what we got going on, and we just sound critical, maybe negative, could be tempted to have a bad attitude. But then that's when you fall back on your vow that you made to the Lord. If you make these vows as David did in Psalm 1 and 2, be reminded of what you told God. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll show forth all thy marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in thee. I'll sing praise to thy name, O thou most high.